I often was afraid of what other people think, you know, and worry about their opinions and before you even start to engage a conversation. But 99% of the time, once it comes down to it, I want them to do where they feel gifted and they feel called. And so if they feel gifted to lead a school and they see students reach students in that school, I know somebody else is going to come along and say, hey, can we do this over here at the next school?
Working with the local church to take the hope of Christ to every student in the United States. This is First Priority. Now here are your hosts, Steve Cherico and Brad Skelling.
Steve, it's good to be here. Welcome to the First Priority Podcast.
What's up, Brad? Always fun to jump on a conversation about what the Lord is doing through FP.
It is good. And hopefully we are in touch enough to know what the Lord is doing in FP and can verbalize some of that here today with our listeners.
Well, listen, there's First Priority Bank. There's First Priority bands like musical, right? There's yep. there's First Priority cleaning services. I mean, you're going to be connected somehow. Buddy, it's worldwide and international.
Of Alabama, yep. FPOA, yep. Just like First Priority of America. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you've got
obvious.
Well, speaking of part of the family, what are we talking about inside First Priority today?
Well, we're gonna jump into talking about a coaching model that we're using called Traction. But I think we have a couple announcements again that we want to make sure we said them last week. But we want to make sure that people are hearing them again this week, because just in case you didn't listen or you forgot, we want to keep them in front of people.
Brad, that's good. I understand we've got, from last week, we got some more announcements we need to make about what's going on inside First Priority.
We do. And the one that we are the most excited about is that scholarship opportunity that I talked about last week, that we are offering a $500 scholarship to some students at the First Priority Club.
Cha-ching.
Yes. So for those of you who remember and those of you who don't, get on firstpriority.club, scroll on over to leadership initiatives, which there's a link at the bottom of the page, or you can just type it in your web browser and click on over there, offer that to the students in your club, and we'll get a $500 scholarship over to somebody.
Yeah, what's great about this, as we said last week on the podcast, is there are so many local charters and organizations that are doing this on their own for their local students to take it to the next spot and start buy-in from FP of America is a great thing. So right. I have a feeling that will just grow either in number or amount in the years to come.
Yep.
Or both.
And the second thing that we want to get out there is just put some of these meetings on people's calendars. If you've never been to one of our spring meetings before, we do those every year at the end of the year, end of the school year, just for collaboration. There's right now over 600, pushing 700 clubs around the country in 16 different states, and probably more because they're popping up all over the place by now. And Corona's opening things up, but yeah, we do a meeting over in, we'll be down in Decatur, Alabama. We'll be doing one in Tampa, Florida. We'll be doing one in the east side of, or the Illinois side of St. Louis this year. East Tennessee, we'll have one over in Bean Station. And so just put that on your radar for the month of May. There'll be a meeting every week. Pick one that works or a place that you'd like to go to. Florida in May is an okay place to be. It's not
exactly.
Too hot yet, right?
But, Tampa, exactly.
That's right. And join us and evaluate the year and be part of the discussions of and hear about what we're planning for next year. That's kind of both and. We evaluate and plan and talk about dreaming. So, yeah, it's good times coming up this spring.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to talk about the why with these too for those that are connected, Brad. And so the why is that. The reality is we try to connect organizationally with each other at least three times a year, right?
Yep.
That's
yep.
The why.
Yeah.
And so getting that opportunity through something like a spring meeting where we can get together, we can not only talk about organizational things, we can also talk about life. We can also talk about family and ministry and supporting one another and best practices. Mm-hmm. All of those things come out in the spring meeting. So I can't, I can't encourage all of our staff in Nashville and all the staff in Tennessee One, they will be at spring meetings. And I can't encourage those of you who are either a very bought in campus coach or work in some shape or form with First Party. I can't encourage you enough to be a part.
Yep. I agree. That's why we bring it up, right? So those registrations will open, I think, March 1st. We'll start getting details about that. We just wanted you to be aware. And March 1st, we'll start getting information out there, start the registration. That gives you a couple months to really be thinking about that. So it's coming.
The dates are already set though, right?
The dates are set. Yep. Usually a Monday, Tuesday, with the exception of Tampa, which I believe is a Wednesday, Thursday. 18th, 19th is in Tampa. But it's the first Monday, Tuesday of May in Decatur. And then we go to St. Louis the next Monday and Tuesday. And then the 18th, 19th is Tampa. And then the last one is over in Bean Station. I believe that one's typically just a day meeting on either that Monday or Tuesday. So, yeah.
That's great.
It'll be good.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Well, should we jump into the conversation today?
I was just going to say, we're going to dig into some stuff. If you're listening with us today and you're not driving in the car, right, you're sitting in the office, I encourage you to open up your good notes on your iPad, open up your notebook, whatever you got, because there are some things that are worth just starting to think about if you're not familiar already. And if you are familiar, there's probably some good reminders. So Brad, we're going to jump in and talk about traction today.
Yes.
And just wanted to ask you to go ahead and define that for us and get us moving on it.
Yeah. Traction is something we've been using with First Party of America. It was introduced to us by one of our board members. They call it the EOS model, which stands for Entrepreneurial Operating System, which doesn't matter if you're a for-profit or a nonprofit, we all have goals and dreams that we want to achieve, right? And so it doesn't matter if you're selling widgets or trying to change the world through a nonprofit of some sort, you know, we all have a vision of what we want to do. And there's components. The vision is the first component of traction, right? You got to know where you're going. Ask the question, is everyone going in the same direction? Which I think is one of the things that works with First Priority, because to take the hope of Christ to every student, you know, students reaching students, we kind of have that feel to us. But there's a lot more to this thing, like about the people that are involved. Do we have all the right people in the right seats? I know for me, for example, as soon as somebody expresses any type of interest in First Priority, my thought goes to, hey, maybe this person could lead the next chapter, right? But everybody that walks in the door isn't wanting to do that. You know, maybe they could be a club coach or a board member or a donor or, you know, there's a lot of a prayer partner, whatever the case might be. Are we putting the right people in the right seats? Because that's huge for any organization. And this isn't just a traction thing, right? Whether you're Steve Covey or, you know, Zig Ziglar, they all have talked about this in their own ways through the years. But yeah, traction has that component too. There's the data that goes behind that. Do you know where you're going? Do you know, for First Party of America, that's, you know, how many clubs do we want to start in the next 5 years? Because that's really where it goes. How can we see where we are going? And then asking yourselves, what are the issues that go with that? What's holding us up? And it's super cool. It's very simple to identify, discuss, solve. They talk about IDSing. Identify, discuss, and solve the issues. And that was the scariest piece for me, I'll say, because, you know, there's a lot of things maybe we've been avoiding for a little while, but you can't avoid it anymore because we're talking about it every week. And it just starts to get more uncomfortable to not talk about it than it does to talk about it. So let's talk about it. Why aren't we overcoming this obstacle? And it's just a pretty cool. And then you start to gain traction. You start to move forward. The things that were issues last week aren't issues this week. And all of a sudden you've gone from, you know, 10 new clubs to 20 new clubs to 30 new clubs because, you know, or if you're a club coach, maybe you've gone from 10 students to 20 students in the club to 30 students in the club, right? You identify and solve those problems, whatever your vision and your goals are at whatever level. I'm speaking on a First Priority of America level, right? That we're trying to launch Fort Worth and get 189 schools going. But wherever you're at, I mean, it all practically helps you achieve the vision of helping students reach students, whether that be one school as a coach, whether that be, you know, 10 or 20 schools if you're a coordinator or a director, or for us in First Party of America that we're trying to launch chapters and districts and to seeing the big movement. So, and then there's that process that you just walk through to create that consistent high level way of making that happen, right? As a coach, as a youth pastor, there is a process to seeing a club be successful and walking through it. Some of it is just making sure you're running the cycle. I tell that story all the time. My first coaching job with First Priority, I didn't really push the 4-week cycle until Christmas. Then after Christmas, we pushed the 4-week cycle and our club went from 10 or 12 friends to 30 to 50 people every week because we were actually sharing the gospel once a month. And it just changed who we were as a club, and we were actually achieving our goals because we were working that process, that part of the process. So I don't know if that's really a summary of traction or not, but those are the components of it. And it's the vision of your organization. It's the people in your organization. It's the data that you're tracking, well, objectively, where you're going, the issues that you need to solve. It is then gaining traction. And there's pieces to that too. Bringing clarity to it, but moving forward. And then the process in which you move forward in. So those are those six components. They are all circling around your business. And if it's traction is common enough, if you got on a Google website and typed in EOS traction, that would be probably one of the first images that popped up, was a little pie chart with those six things in it.
That's good. Now, it sounds like, and I know I'm setting you up here, right? But it sounds like this would be a longer than 20-minute, 25-minute discussion in terms of training it. So let's jump into one or two of those for the sake of First Priority.
Yep.
And deal with just some real life stuff that'll allow this to become tangible and just not just thoughtful.
Well, and that is a super easy conversation to jump into, because one of the tools that Traction uses is what they call the Vision Traction Organizer. And it's basically one piece of paper front and back, and you can get it in a Word document or a number of different ways, but It's a one-page document where you can just start writing down all the different components of your vision. So for us, our vision is to take the hope of Christ to every student, right? But what is our target there? So First Priority of America on a big level, this is a super easy example of that, but on a big level, we have said we want to be in 10,000 schools in the next 5 years. That is our 10-year target. Our core target is, I guess, what they call it, because we want to do it in five. It's our core target of where we want to go. But for you as a club leader, when you start writing those things down to say, hey, I'm in a school with 800 students in it, you know, and we're running 15, what is my 5-year target for this thing? I've had a lot of people talk through the years. You get into the office of a business person, and they're like, well, how do you know that every senior who's graduating has heard the gospel? So that's really your goal. You want to see the hope of Christ in every student. How do you walk through that? And so to start thinking that way, yes, to take the hope of Christ to every student is your vision, but then let's start putting that on paper. It's going to bring clarity to that. And we can give you, from First Priority of America, if you're interested in doing this, we can give you a sample, because our core values are going to be the same, and that vision statement will be the same. And we can give you some blanks to fill in, because we've done a lot of the writing that will help guide you. So you have the bumpers on the bowling alley, right? That you're not just going all over the place, but say, hey, this is First Priority in a one-page document. You know, where do you want to be in 5 years? Well, what does that mean we need to do this year? How can we make our club better? Or if you're a director, you know, one example is, there's the county that we're working with that they've got 12 schools occupied right now with the First Priority Club, but there's 50 schools in the county. So, okay, our 5-year target is 50 schools, but what does that mean? How many do we want to start this year? In 5 years, we want to be in 50 schools, or in 5 years, we want to see all 800 kids come to know Jesus in our one club. But what does that look like for this year? What do we need to start doing on a month in and month out? That's really what it comes down to. And it really just helps that happen because it just brings clarity. One of the things I talk about with First Priority is when a student writes down their story of faith, what has God done in their life, that brings clarity for them. That's brought clarity for me in college when somebody asked me to write down my story of faith. I'm like, oh yeah. When I was in fourth grade, this happened. I went to camp and I accepted Jesus for the first time and felt the peace of the Holy Spirit. But then in middle school, this happened. In high school, that happened. And I've never really tied all those things together until I wrote it down. And so writing down your vision for what you want to see happen in your First Priority leadership is huge. And it can bring a lot of clarity what God wants to do in your life and in your school or your schools. And it can help you achieve those things. So again, we've got a template we can help you with, get you started. We've talked to several people through our fall conference. We'll continue to talk about this stuff at our spring meetings. Kind of go from there.
So I think one of the questions as we look at another point in traction is, you mentioned that there's a place that we can go or that you can receive this content so you can begin to walk through it from a first priority view.
Yes.
Where is that, Brad? Where can the folks that are following along on the podcast, where can they go to begin to grab content that really has the viewpoint of FP?
Well, if you are a director or a coordinator in our system, you can go to our city staff Dropbox folder, and we have an entire folder in there with Dropbox templates, and we have some chapter templates in there and the national information in there as well. If you're not a director or coordinator, you can either ask yours if you have one, or you can just reach out to me and I'd be glad to engage you in this conversation. I love stuff like this. So definitely glad to engage this conversation with you and walk you through, you know, looking at that for your area.
Yeah. And as a former campus coach, right? I mean, it's been 21 mm-hmm. years since I jumped into this, but as a former campus coach, the idea of seeing the end in order to know where to begin
mm-hmm.
is no different than a parent, right? As a parent, I knew what I wanted at the end for my kids.
Yep.
So at the beginning, I began to lay those foundations. And so if you're a campus coach out there and you've got a vision for that school that God's given you, this is a great opportunity to take a front and back side of a piece of paper and begin to really lay it out.
Yep.
Because what you aim at, you will typically hit.
Yep.
Right. But if you're not aiming at anything, then sky's the limit of what might happen, right? And we want to cast a vision that's clear. We want to cast a vision that causes mission, because when students have mission, then they become missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
And when they become missionaries, then they begin to reach their peers for Christ. And at the end of the day, that's the whole goal, is that the good news is that Jesus came for them, and that's how we empower them. So some of this feels a little bit out of the box for a campus coach, but I want to encourage all of us that are on the campus working with students, this is actually a great place to launch the second semester.
Correct.
It's a great place, right, to prepare for August of this year when you launch that new school. So I'm really excited about that part of it, which again, it kind of leads me, Brad, to the other place I think we're going to go today, which is, okay, I'm a campus coach, so I'm a person that's in the midst of this.
Yep.
And maybe I'm not in the right seat as I listen to this. Maybe I actually have a vision for more than just the school. Maybe I've got a vision for the 8 schools that are within a 4-mile radius of me, which makes me a coordinator, right?
Yep.
And I need to go talk to a director. So talk a little bit about the people inside the process, if you don't mind.
Well, it's pretty simple and it's pretty cool. They're people analyzer. When you talk about that, you know, what seat do you want to sit in? And they ask the question, do you get it? Do you want it? And can you do it? Those are three very different questions, because I think most people who are engaged with us get it, right? At some type of a level. Do they want it? Yeah, everybody wants it. And can you do it? That's to be determined. But, you know, whether that be a person who in our situation comes in and says, hey, yeah, I get this. I want it. I want to see it all over my city. But then when they go out and start doing something, they start one club and that's it, right? We have those situations happen all the time where you come back and you say, okay, you know, here's what you told me last time we had this conversation. where are you at? You get this? Yeah. Do you want it? Yeah. Well, can you do it? I can. Or maybe sometimes they say, I can't do it. I don't have enough time to go start 15 schools. Well, you want to be a club coach in this school? We love what you're doing. Like, yeah, I can. You're okay with that? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay with somebody wanting to be a club coach in school. That's amazing, right? And so it just gets that conversation out in the open. Again, that's one of the things that I've learned in this is I often was afraid of what other people think, you know, and worry about their opinions. And before you even start to engage a conversation, but 99% of the time, once it comes down to it, people want to do what they're doing. Like if they're running a school, it's because they want to run a school, right? And so for me to have a conversation to say, hey, we're calling you a coordinator, but you're a club coach. I love it. Are you okay with being a club coach? They're like, yeah, but I thought you wanted me to do that. And it's always, you know, I thought it was going to be a hard conversation. They thought I wanted them to do more, which I would love it if people did different things, but I want them to do where they feel gifted and they feel called. And so if they feel gifted to lead a school and they see students reach students in that school, I know somebody else is going to come along and say, hey, can we do this over here at the next school? And they'll go be the club coach at that school, right? I've seen that happen all the time. So the people analyzer, where do you want to be? Where's God calling you to be? And go do that and do it well, because we know that if you start a spark, that it gets a fire going. You can sing along with me if you'd like, but yeah, it just asking those hard questions, it helps answer the issues that we talked about a little bit. That's not, we're talking about the people analyzer, which is a different tool than the issues thing, but you identify, discuss, and you solve those issues. And when you start bringing a big vision up, whether it's, hey, how do we reach 800 kids with the gospel this year? Or how do we reach the 200, can you small number? How do we reach the 50 graduating seniors this spring? We got 50 students who we don't know if they've heard the gospel, who are never going to step foot in this campus again sometime in May. How do we share the gospel with each and every one of them before the year end, the school year ends? That could be the issue that you want to solve this year. And then next year you'd start all over again and say, okay, we've got the next senior class, but we're going to do 8 things because we got 8 months. And how are we going to solve it? And it can be, I like always throwing out some practical ideas. It could be bringing the homecoming queen or king back from 1993. It was a great year to graduate from high school, but back to share the gospel at an invite week or an engage week, whichever cycle you're running. You could bring the homecoming queen back and invite the whole senior class to come to a first party club over lunch and buy them all pizza. And if the homecoming king shares the gospel with the entire senior class, you just solve the problem, right? By doing that, by identifying, discussing, and solving that problem. And I just jumped over to a different tool, part of the traction thing. But if you're in your sweet spot, and you have your vision down for what you want to do in your sweet spot, whether, again, that's coordinator or a coach or a teacher sponsor. I mean, can you see how you gain traction and you start to move forward and you say, hey, we want to accomplish these goals. We want to do these things because we want to take the hope of Christ to every student. And it doesn't have to get any more complicated than that, right?
Right. I do see how that works. You know, I'm sitting here taking notes, Brad, as you're talking. And one of the things I wrote down is expectations and perceptions often frame people's reality.
Yeah.
Your expectation of me and my perception of what you expect of me typically frames my reality. And so with the tools that you've just given, when we bring clarity, problems are solved.
Yep.
When we have the nerve to do what you just said with IDS and start to bring it up,
yep,
tear the Band-Aid off, right? Go ahead and bring clarity to, well, I didn't really expect that from you. I just expected you just to reach that school, right? That's really all I expected from you.
Yeah.
My perception was, because of our goal of reaching 20 schools, that as soon as I got the school up and running, I had to be thinking about the next one. No, that's that perception is not what I was looking for. I apologize. Right. All of a sudden those things start to happen and now we've got clarity and then problems get solved. And that's the beauty of the tool that you just put out there, Attraction, is that as we solve problems in our world, kids are reached. Yep. And in our world, kids are trained. And in our world, students are empowered to fail well and to fail forward as they bring kids to the gospel. And it just, every bit of that, when you put it and frame it into first priority and empowering gospel, student ministries that are empowered with the gospel, it can really turn things upside down for the good.
Correct. And you said it a lot better than I do. That's a very healthy way to say those same things. But I've begun to get scared of not solving problems and facing the conflict than I'm more scared of not facing that conflict than I am of leaving it sit for 6 months. Because I am seeing that what I perceive as conflict is not, this never turns out to be conflict, especially when you just address it and talk about it and everybody's perceptions, it becomes the reality and you get on the same page and you can move forward together. And we are moving forward now. I mean, there's multiple stars that are aligning, not just Traction coming into our lives with First Party of America. You know, there's more people that are coming into our lives on the board and our staff and all that stuff is happening as well. But some of it is happening because we are getting the right people and working through these issues. So.
Well, let me say this to all of you, no matter what layer of First Party you're involved in, whether you're a campus coach, again, like I was when I started in 01, whether you are a coordinator and you've got responsibility for a few schools, you're a director, you got a responsibility to a community, you're an executive director, you got a responsibility to a city, whatever your layer is, Brad has made it clear that if you want to dig into a particular part of the six pieces of the pie of Traction, Brad at fpofamerica.com is where you start that conversation. Sure. If you want to talk about my side of it, being as a director, but also a coach, Steve at fpofamerica.com. We don't always throw those email addresses out in the midst of a podcast discussion, because if you want us, you can find us. But I think with today's discussion, with the depths you could have gone, I think it's good to just allow, hey, more than commenting, more than sharing and liking, which is how we always close our podcast, right? If you really need to dig in on an area because Brad has hit something that you're working through, don't be scared to start an email while we're sitting here talking and get that out to us and let us start ping-ponging back and forth with you on an email or a phone call.
Yep, that's right. Well, I appreciate the conversation. Thanks for letting me chat about this and taking the next level with the Traction conversation. It's good.
Well, good stuff. Good day on the podcast. I look forward to our next one, which is coming quickly.
It is. It'll be here next week.
There you go. Until then, Brad, see you soon.
See you soon. Thanks, everybody, for listening.